Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
The Spirit-filled life heals wounds and builds hope in our fractured world. The Spirit-filled life that has the Spirit released from us to be God's wounded healers in our world. The Spirit-filled life is for everyone, and it's for each of us then to be called out to be God's servants, to free us from the wounds by the joy of His love. Brother Mac was my pastor during most of my childhood and youth, and he was as good a man as he was a pastor. Just north of Burney, he had an acre of land on the side of a hill. It wasn't an easy to get to place, let's just say. You had to kind of park the truck and walk a while and the slant of the hill. But there he cleared out some cedar and put together a small abode. And it was his place to go to heal from life's hurts and wounds, the bumps and bruises that come along the way. And he was kind enough to let me join him during my youth on many occasions. And I learned along the way by being with him at Ebenezer was the name of his place. Eben is the Hebrew word for stone, and Ezer is the Hebrew word for of my help. The stone of my help, God gives the stone of my help, as said from the book of Samuel. And in the rhythm of being there, I realized I needed my place and time to also heal in life's wounds. And we all need an Ebenezer. We need a place and a time that we may go to and come from, and to know that we've been touched by the wonder of God. It's my prayer for you. It's Jacob and mine and our church's prayer for each of us, that this sanctuary be an Ebenezer. It be a place that we may come and know that we are touched by the presence of God and filled with a time in which being in His presence. But God also calls you to be an Ebenezer and for me to be an Ebenezer, that we may move into our world and our workaday world, and that people may feel the touch of God's healing power in their life because the Spirit of this healing God is at work within our lives. This Spirit-filled life creates a future different from a painful past by this healing and building of hope. That's His good word for us. The good word comes by way which we can know the comfort and the counsel that He provides for us. For the Holy Spirit is known exactly by being that comforter and counselor. A friend of my daughter's, Rachel, sent a copy of this text that was part of her family circle. And the text reads this: I am here for you. And the lady holding her mobile device said, thanks. I'm going through a tough time in my life, and it means a lot, but I've lost my contacts. Can you tell me who you are? The response is, yeah, I'm your Uber driver. I'm here to pick you up. Yeah. In the midst of this, we're reminded what we already know, that all of us are the walking wounded, as Henry Nouwen would say. All of us have a hurt pressing upon our life. And part of the gift is in knowing that in each other, in the strangers that we meet, and just bringing the sense of calm of the Spirit of love, the Spirit of hope, and to be able to give this helping hand. And the brief message before communion today is giving some how-tos out of this practical and inspirational message that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. He was writing a group of people that he loved and he knew. He lived among them for almost 3 years, but he himself was in a difficult spot. He was falsely accused and wrongly arrested and is awaiting trial under the order of Caesar, but he says that he's free. He opens Ephesians by saying, open Ephesians 4:1 by saying, I am a prisoner for the Lord. He did not say, I am a prisoner of Caesar's. I am a prisoner for the Lord, knowing to whom we belong, and knowing that to whom we belong, then is the purpose of our life each and every day, enables us to define our circumstances while we're influenced by our circumstances. It means we're not controlled by our circumstances, but we may come to the Spirit of God to give shape to the conditions of our life. That's the very work of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is described by Jesus is His presence, His resurrected presence. And the Spirit comes to our life as the functioning presence of God in three ways: to counsel us, to give us wisdom, to counsel us in heavenly living with earthly wisdom and application. The Spirit comes to confront us with sin. The Spirit comes to hold us accountable to the sinfulness of our life and in our world, and to call us to live a better life by the power of Christ. And the Spirit comes to comfort us within our hurts, and to comfort by healing us within our wounds. That's a Spirit-filled life works it through. Greg and Mary Osborne have been long-term members in the life of our church, and their three daughters have been a part of Trinity. And so Caroline's daughter now is Bailey, and Bailey is off into the preschool area, and I share this story with their permission. Bailey's in a new class at the beginning of this new school year, and there were several new students that came to their class after the school year had already begun. And one of these students particularly was feeling kind of lost, misplaced, as though he didn't belong, and he was sobbing for his mother, and making it, he was just filled with a sadness that the teacher and the other approaches used by the school to comfort him just weren't getting through. So as you see in this photograph, that Bailey is then with him here. And he kept on calling for his mother, and Bailey sized it up with practical love, the wounding power of practical love, and said, "It's only two more recesses till your mother comes, and I'll hold your hand until then." He stopped sobbing. He gave her a hug. And he got through the day and came back the next day. The sense of being aware of how it is that we may be helpful in the encouragement of love into the lives of people. Bailey's doing it because she picks it up from her home. She picks it up in the story of how life is lived around her. But she picks it up because she also gets a sense of what's going on in the lives of others. We can be so consumed by our own hurt and our own worry that we're not aware of what is around us in the lives of others. And so the Spirit sets us free from getting lost in our own hurt in order for us to be helpful into the lives of others. The Spirit calls us, and everyone may be able to have this Spirit-filled life. It's a life of the worthy that we have been calling, that we have received. That is, when you came to faith in Christ, and if you're a seeker today, grateful that we're here as seekers and believers, know that this is an offering of God for all of us. No one is excluded. By letting the love of Christ come to touch your life through a trusting belief, and then the presence of Christ to be released in you, it's your calling, it's your pathway to live your best life. And so Paul is writing that as his message of encouragement. This Paul, who wrote over a fourth of the New Testament, is laying it out in these verses. And then he says in verses 2 and 3, that we can build up. We can build the character in our life. The Spirit comes to build us with humility and patience and gentleness, a perseverance in God's purposes, and a peace that comes through love. Edify is the New Testament word. It means to build up and not to tear down. It's a way of kind of creating God's best intentions in the life. So we've looked at each of those qualities, and humility is seeing yourself as God sees you. Gentleness is the strength, God's strength, working through you. Patience is a sense of God's timing, trusting in God's timing to be at work. The sense of the perseverance is not just hanging in there for the sake of hanging in there, but it's hanging in there in order for the purpose to be fulfilled, to be accomplished in our life. And peace comes by the sense of having a harmony of love. And that if we can experience that Ebenezer, we can experience that stone of God's help, giving us an inner calm in our troubled world and maybe our wounded life, then we can have enough harmony to be able to show that for others. This is available for all of us. It's not just for you or you or you, but it's for, well, it's you and me and for all of us. This is what God is seeking to create in us. Even as we saw a rising sun 93 million miles away this morning, we see the promise of God creating. And speaking of that, early this morning, I saw on my front lawn, I didn't go out and get the early morning paper because there was a skunk out there grubbing for food and the tail was sticking straight up. Meaning, this is my land. Don't you mess with me because I'm ready to do my thing if you get in my way. You know, you got to size up what's going on. You got to choose your time for that. But just as God has created this new day for us, each day is created with purpose. And the purpose is for more of His presence to set free, more of His power within our life, that we may live a powerful life. And He does it by letting us feel the connectedness of His creation, the connectedness of His presence. You recall the great commandment and how that goes, but it opens with, "Hear, O Israel, hear, O people of God, the Lord your God is what? Is one." Then to love the Lord your God who is one with the oneness of you, with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, to love your neighbor and yourself. The power of this unity of God is to help us see the unity in the midst of a very diverse world. That's the big picture. And so he lays out in these incredible three verses, brief verses, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, about this oneness. The oneness is the fullness of God, and it comes to us in the fullness of His Spirit so that we can be an extension of God's unity, a oneness in the world. And He lays out seven ways, seven being the perfect number in the Scriptures. He lays out seven ways for that to occur. Look with me at the passage. You'll count the seven ones. Read it with me. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one in God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in y'all. Adele and I decided to throw in that New Testament translation for y'all. That's really what Paul meant, you know. And it is for the ways of a oneness being applied in each and every way. Our name of our church is what? What's the name of our church? Trinity. And Trinity means the Trinity, the fullness of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, the Empower. Our very name communicates the unity of God, and this unity of God is at work within this passage. And so speaking about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, this is in all, through all, and for all. Now, Paul is under the arrest of Caesar, thought to be the most powerful man in all of the Roman Empire of about 50 to 60 million people, and he is saying to Caesar, I don't bow at your presence before your throne. I bow before the one Christ, that I may be a service in the world and helpful to you, but I do not worship you. We can only be helpful wherever we go if we only worship the one Lord. If we're worshiping other lords, then we are of no help in this world. We're just mimicking our culture. But the transforming power is that God comes then to liberate us. And so in the verses 7 through 10 that Mike and Ann read for us, it's the power of God to overcome. It's the power of God to overcome barriers which are there. He speaks about that coming from heaven down to earth. He's quoting out of Psalm 68, but he's speaking about the fulfillment of Jesus who descended from heaven, came to earth, dwelt among us as the very presence of God. And in his earthly ministry, he has transforming power as the Messiah, as the one who came to create the difference that we will celebrate in our communion about his body and his blood being the sign of the unity of God in our world. He came and He has rescued us. This passage speaks about being rescued up from Him. And it's a hard work by which God calls us to do. One of our members, Ryan Degalia Holland, who is also my son, is going to be speaking at a gathering in the dining room after worship today, part of our Micah 6:8 ministry. Because Ryan has done a work and written a book that's kind of read in different circles around the country about how to heal broken neighborhoods, when he and Michelle used to live in Chicago, when we go to visit them, we'd enjoy the, you know, the drive along the lake shore and Lake Michigan and all the Michigan Avenue stores. We'd enjoy that. But we spent most of our time in South Chicago or the Filson District or in the Lawndale District. We spent most of the time where most people don't go to in Chicago, and saw his work like in the Austin community there and the brokenness. And what struck me is that Ryan, in his own way, was applying the gospel to the wounds of a city, trying to get at the source of what was happening in order to recreate hope and help with a lot of other people to heal the wounds in neighborhoods so the city as a whole could be healed. One of the things that he will say is, hurt people hurt people. If we will heal the hurts in people, it will help them not to hurt others. Another friend of mine told me the story and about he'd had a long-term friend, somebody that he'd wanted to be able to be supportive of and encourager for, but he noticed that she always kept him at a distance and, you know, kind of hurt him. He kind of felt rejected. She was more reserved than he felt like she needed to be. He was, you know, he's being very appropriate in his language and his action, and he just wanted to be an encourager for her. And then after several years, he learned more about her story. And her story was that her father had abused her. But even as tragic as that is, he had also loaned her out as a youth for other men to abuse her. So her healing was after a lifetime of woundedness, and the Spirit of God was healing her, but he realized that it wasn't about him feeling being rejected by her. She was doing courageous work, just trying to get forward in her life, and she was given as much warmth out of her heart as she should give. And so often in our lives, we feel like people are just kind of keeping us at a distance. Well, sometimes they are. But sometimes they're keeping us at a distance because they're trying to find out where the safe place is in God's healing in their life and our relationships with each other. And so Jesus never modeled for us. Paul is making clear the Spirit-filled life never says, okay, well, that's how you're going to treat me, then look to see what I'm going to do to you. Now, we can feel that, but not to act on that. And so God gives us also then talents, spiritual talents. What you realize we're doing is we're going verse by verse through this Ephesians 4 through 1 through 16. We're letting the scriptures speak a practical message into our life. And then he moves in verses 11 and 12 about the spiritual gifts called talents. The spiritual gifts are charismata. Literally, they are grace gifts. God trusts you with spiritual talents, grace gifts. You are talented. God has given you the fruit of the Spirit, his presence growing inside you, but he's also given you spiritual talents to be able to use in our world. If among your gifts is a sense of hospitality, is how you greet people, or how you bake a chess pie and you take it over to a neighbor that opens a conversation, just how you stumble across these things. The talent of a service that you figure, well, you know, that limb fell down in that my neighbor's yard, and I could let my neighbor just do that on his own. But what if I help my neighbor cut up that limb and help to move that limb? And then you talk and you form a relationship, and the relationship leads to a way to be able to share the source of God's love. Those are the kind of spiritual gifts that he's talking about. And so he says, when we speak in this language of the spiritual gifts, we're speaking in ways that are helpful language into the lives of other people. Now, Paul uses the term the unity of the Spirit. We normally speak of the Spirit of unity. And the Spirit of unity, though, is created by the unity of the Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit is all about creating unity among a diverse people. Not that we're all the same, but that in our differentness, we may feel the oneness and see the oneness of the pattern of God. And that enables us to be uniquely different, but we're united with each other in the unity of the Spirit. That is the unity of the Holy Spirit. Then we can have the spirit of a unity where we go. And he wraps up this message by speaking truth in love. You've heard that phrase so often. Where does it come from? Well, it comes from this passage. To speak truth in love. Now, my experience in life is that sometimes when people have come to me to say, I want you to know I love you, but That means, watch out, it's coming. And I pray, Lord, help me to hear what you want me to hear and what they're about to say. Help me not to get hooked by personal agendas. Help me to respond in a way that this person knows that I'm hearing what they're saying. And help us try to create a unity by which we can work on this together. But to speak truth in love is not about hurting someone to hurt someone. To speak the truth in love is to be able to speak the message of God's hope in a person's life so that they know they have hope. And by knowing that they have hope, they can be people of hope, and that there is a hope that they can demonstrate from their life in this world. And here is a way to get that done by growing. Growing. Paul will say, don't be childish anymore. You're adults. Don't be toddlers. You're at a time in your life as followers of Christ that we can be running in life, that we can be moving in the fullness of that Spirit. But if we're always holding back, wanting to be cared for, then we remain just toddlers within our faith. And Paul calls it out. I remember the time I had to speak truth and love during a wedding rehearsal, and all times. You'd be glad to know it didn't happen here, but there, the bridesmaid was the sister of the bride, and there was just a lot of unsolved stuff, unfinished business, and she was bringing all that unfinished business into the wedding rehearsal, where the wedding rehearsal was becoming all about her. And we tried all the things to, redirect and heal, speak to issues, talk to the side. And finally, I just had to say, you're fired. You can't be here. This wedding is not about you. We've tried to work this out before we got here, but it didn't work out. And this wedding is going to happen. And you're not going to kidnap it. Because one of the things I'll tell a couple before a wedding is, let me be your bad guy. You don't have to be the bad guy. That's, the sense about letting a word of even hard love speak the word of truth love, and to come back and bring things together. Well, so it was. And he then showed the power of this community as we come to communion. You catch that? Union of communion. Or we see in Philippians 4, 1 through 3, about healing two relationships of Euodia and Syntyche, two sisters under the pressures of life, began to fuss at each other. They'd labored well together in life. And Paul says, come and give care to them. Give care to them. Help them to heal because they're better than this. Their love's better than this. To create community, that is the unity of community. It's the power of what God can create for us within our life. As we now move to communion, as our deacons come forward, that we are here as a diverse people, different set of circumstances that have shaped who we are. But in these circumstances of life, there's the community that he provides. And if this is your first time to be in worship at Trinity Baptist Church, but if you're a follower of Christ, you are welcome to take part in communion. The lids are being lifted as a sign of the resurrection, that Christ has been lifted from the grave, and that as we soon will hold the symbol of the bread, the sign of his body, crucified on the cross, that makes possible the salvation for every person. And that as we take then this body as a sign in our worship, it's identifying our unity in the Spirit of Christ in our midst. So he wrote, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take in remembrance of me."
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.